protect your boats and recreational vehicles with FBP RV and Marine antifreeze. It has burst-proof protection down to negative 50 degrees, keeping you protected against freezing temperatures. Keep your winter worry-free with FBP ready-to-use RV and Marine antifreeze now at Menards. Visit us in-store or on Menards.com and shop our great selection of automotive products.
Save big money at Menards.
You're listening to continuing coverage in the suitcase murder, the trial of Sarah Boone, from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now back to the courtroom.
Oh, I was waiting on you. Please, go ahead. Sorry. Pay no attention to me. Go ahead.
The very last question.
My understanding is it was the question and the answer right before Mr. Owens asked to approach.
Okay. Question. What was your opinion? Answer. My opinion was that she did not give me enough information to diagnose her with post-traumatic stress disorder at the time that I evaluated her at the jail.
Can you read that for me one more time, please?
The answer?
Both the question and the answer.
Question, what was your opinion? Answer, my opinion was that she did not give me enough information to diagnose her with post-traumatic stress disorder at the time that I evaluated her at the jail.
May we please have the previous question as well?
Question, and in this particular case, did you require any additional information to reach your conclusion about the relationship between battered spouse syndrome and the events of this evening? Answer, I based my opinion on the information that I had. Certainly, if there was more information, my opinion would be subject to change. Question, what was your opinion?
Mr. Owens?
Number one, that question and answer, she gave a differing opinion than what she gave in her deposition, which, subject to the agreement we had, I should have noticed. Number two, with the proffer, it seems that she's going to find that post-traumatic stress disorder did not apply to the facts as related by Sarah Boone. That is an opinion that I needed to know about. And I asked throughout this deposition and at the very end some general, if your opinions, if you have any new opinions or anything new that differs from what you've said here today, please notify the lawyers or words to that effect. So it's an evidentiary issue. I've got a right to be prepared for the trial through discovery to know what the witnesses are going to opine. And this is a discovery violation based on two things. One, her initial answer to the question that I objected to, and then two, the proffer is a new opinion. It's a discovery violation. I ask that the witness be stricken.
Any response?
Judge, I think it's clear from my original question that the intent that I stated was the intent of my question, to get the answer that I intended to get, was what the question was intended to elicit from the witness. As far as the discovery violations and continued attacks, I'm not convinced he understands what the answer means or what it's going to be. The answer isn't going to be Ms. Boone didn't have PTSD, hence, therefore, battered spouse syndrome doesn't apply in this case. Mm-hmm. What I believe she's going to say, and what I believe I've been saying she's going to say, based on our conversations, was irrespective of whether anybody believes Ms. Boone had BSS or PTSD, it is irrelevant because of what Ms. Boone told her happened at the time of the event. That is not a discovery violation. She was specific in saying, if you have any questions you want to ask me, I'll give you an opinion. That is exactly what she said on page 67 of the deposition in response to a question that starts at line 7. Question, just double dog sure, you admit that you have no other opinions other than the ones you've expressed here today. Answer, that I've been asked about. If I'm asked about something else, that I'll offer it. They didn't ask about the interplay of the facts with the relevance of the syndrome. That's them, not the state. Judge,
any other argument?
The totality, if you read that deposition and all that we talked
about. I specifically asked you, Mr. Owens, to point out for me I specifically asked for you to point out specific portions of the deposition that are at odds with either A, the opinion that was previously given, or B, what was proffered to. You have provided me pages 45, 46 of the deposition relating to specific opinions on whether or not Ms. Boone suffers from post-traumatic stress disorder. Are there any other portions of the depo that you would like to point out for me? I am not going to read an 87-page deposition and continue to waste our jurors' time as we try to find any solution for the situation that is now before us. If there are specific portions of this deposition that are at odds with the opinions that have been proffered and or provided so far, I would ask you to direct my attention to them.
Well, the ones that I expressed.
Other than what you've already identified.
The ones that I expressed, and that just the understanding that we had that she, in the pages that I have talked about previously here today, in the pages that I referred to about our agreement that she was going to let me know if there were any opinions that she had in addition to the opinions that she gave in the transcript.
Okay. All right, thank you. All right. Any other argument, Mr. J?
No, thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. All right, the court has had the opportunity to listen to the proffer as read back by Madam Court Reporter, the read back of the opinion that was previously offered, the portions of the deposition which have been highlighted by the defense specifically pertain to opinions by the defendant as to whether or not the defendant suffers from post-traumatic stress disorder. That opinion is not being offered. The opinion pertains to the relationship of battered spouse syndrome and or PTSD as it relates to the facts of the case as the defendant has relayed them to you and that they are not related. However, the deposition is identified by the defense identifies that if there were any additional opinions, that there would be notification. So the court at this point in time, as there has been an alleged discovery violation in accordance with binding precedent by the Sixth District Court of Appeal, which is binding on this trial court in Young v. State, 369 Southern 3rd, 1243, at pinpoint 1248, the court is now going to conduct a discovery violation or discovery Richardson hearing. State any other arguments with regard to the elements of a Richardson hearing?
No, sir.
Okay, thank you. Any other arguments with regard to the elements of a Richardson hearing, Mr. Owens?
None other than I understood she did give an opinion about post-traumatic stress in that initial series of questions.
Okay. All right, the court, again, reviewing the proffer and the opinion, finds that the state's violation was inadvertent based on the proffer by the state, which was agreed to by Dr. Werner as to the conversation they had last night, as to the opinions and whether or not that they had changed. However, I do find that that violation is substantial with regard to the opinions based on the testimony in Dr. Werner's deposition that any other additional opinions would be notified to the defense. As it relates to the third category, the effect on the defendant to properly prepare for trial, although the questions in the deposition as highlighted by the defense so far are do not address the opinions being currently offered, I do find that it had some impact on the ability for the defendant to properly prepare for trial. As it relates to the opinion that was previously provided as read back, specifically my opinion was that she did not give enough information to diagnose her with PTSD at the time of the evaluation at the jail. What is your position, if any, with regard to that opinion now that the jury has heard it? Mr. Owens. Because my question is, do you want it struck?
On that issue, we'll address it on cross-examination.
So you do not want it to be struck, and you do not want a curative instruction?
Well, I'm going to question her about post-traumatic stress, so it's going to come out through my cross from the deposition about what she said, and then it's inconsistent with what she said here today, so I'm going to want to rely on that question or that answer.
Okay, all right. Ms. Boone? Have you been paying attention to the questions and answers and the readbacks of both the proffered testimony and the opinion testimony?
Yes.
And are you on board with the strategy not to seek to strike that opinion?
Yes.
Thank you. With regard to the proffered testimony, I'm going to permit now in open court, and I will oversee the deposition, for you, Mr. Owens, to inquire as to those opinions.
I'm sorry?
With regard to the proffered opinions, the court will oversee a deposition now, and you may proceed.
Right now?
Yes. With regard to the proffered opinions. And I believe that will provide a cure for the discovery violation under the Richardson violation, based on your request not to strike the prior opinion. And since you're going to utilize that on cross, I find that the prejudice is limited. But with regard to the new opinions, I will give you the opportunity to depose her now, curing the prejudice at that point in time. You may proceed.
Dr. Warren.
Yes, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning.
At some point, the state attorney notified you that you were to come today.
Correct.
Did you and the state attorney have a discussion about your testimony?
Yes.
When was that discussion?
Briefly last night.
So y'all talked on the phone last night?
Yes.
Have y'all had any discussions since the phone conversation last night?
Briefly this morning.
And how long was the phone conversation?
Less than 5 minutes.
How long was the face-to-face conversation?
Less than 5 minutes.
Did y'all discuss that your testimony would be that you did not have enough information that you gathered from Sarah Boone to form an opinion as to whether or not she suffered from post-traumatic stress disorder?
Correct, that my opinion hadn't changed.
I'm sorry?
Yes, that my opinion hadn't changed, that I didn't have enough information.
Okay. And did the state attorney speak to you about that it didn't matter whether you had an opinion if you didn't feel like the facts that Sarah Boone had given you as it relates to the facts and issue in this case, that you didn't, if you didn't feel like post-traumatic stress even applied, then you could answer that way?
Correct. That was my opinion. Correct.
But did he present that to you initially for you to form an opinion about it?
No. My opinion was that it didn't apply because of the way that she described the incident to me.
Was that your opinion back when I took your deposition?
Yes.
When did you form that opinion?
When she described the incident to me.
Why didn't you let us know that was your opinion at the time that I took your deposition?
You didn't ask me about that, sir.
Do you remember me asking you any other opinions that you may have as it relates to this case?
You didn't ask me specifically about that.
I understand that, but you're saying you formed that opinion prior to the deposition, correct?
Yes. The state attorney and I discussed that on the way out of the jail, as a matter of fact.
After the deposition?
No, sir. After the evaluation.
Okay.
On the way out of the jail.
All right, and I asked you, were there any other opinions that you may express at trial after you had discussed that with the state attorney prior to the deposition? Is that correct?
Yes.
And so you were aware that I didn't want to be ambushed at trial. I wanted to know any and all opinions that you may be expressing in the Sarah Boone case.
I didn't know what specific information you wanted, sir. That's why you had a deposition. I answered your questions. I don't know what all information you want me to provide to you.
So because I didn't ask you specifics, you felt like you didn't have to respond specifically?
No, sir. I answered all of your questions. And as I said, I'm happy to answer any questions that I'm asked. I don't know what questions you want me to answer.
But you know that this was a central issue in the case. Did you not? Your opinion,
yes,
is relating to a central issue in this case.
Correct.
You're aware Sarah Boone's on trial for murder.
That's correct.
And you had this opinion when I was taking your deposition, and I was asking you specifics about any opinions that you may be expressing in the trial of Sarah Boone, and you did not disclose it.
Well, I told you that I would answer any questions that were asked of me. I have a number of opinions. I know that I don't feel that she's suffering from major depressive disorder. I didn't offer that opinion either. I have a number of opinions.
That's all the questions I have.
Mr. Jay, anything else?
I'm just making sure he doesn't want to inquire.
This is your opportunity, Mr. Owens.
Because that was more just about...
Inquire about what?
This is your opportunity to inquire. You are conducting a deposition. This is your opportunity and your only opportunity to cure any prejudice that we've identified with regard to those proffered opinions as it relates to the relationship of battered spouse syndrome and or post-traumatic stress disorder as proffered.
The problem is now, Judge, is I've got my expert. And we weren't aware, you know how... In these type cases, the experts are allowed to listen to the testimony of the other experts and read the depositions of the other experts. Dr. Werner, were you given the opportunity to read Dr. Harper's deposition?
I was.
I mean, that's standard operating procedure in these type cases, and now I'm taking a deposition on the fly, and then I haven't had a chance to speak with my expert about those opinions and whether or not that would change her opinion. It just puts me in a very difficult situation, but if I'm ordered to continue the deposition, I will.
That's your decision. It's not an order. I'm just saying that this is the opportunity to cure that Richardson issue. You asked previously to strike the expert. I am disinclined to do that. The case law says that is an extraordinary remedy, one which I am not going to permit.
Dr. Warren, you realize you're in a courtroom.
Yes, sir.
And we're waiting on the jury on the trial of Sarah Boone.
Yes.
Are there any other opinions that you intend to express in this trial that you have not disclosed to me in the deposition, or you have not disclosed here today under oath?
I'm happy to answer any questions that I'm asked.
Are you refusing to answer my question about any other opinions that you intend to express here today as it relates to Sarah Broome, who is on trial for murder in the second degree?
Judge, I'm going to object. The catch-all vague question that Mr. Owens wants to ask this expert witness about any and all opinions she may or may not have, 99 out of 100 attorneys would come in here and say that's not how you do depositions with expert witnesses. You have to ask specific questions. Anytime you ask a question like that of an expert, the expert's always going to say, please ask me a specific question. And that's what she did then. That's what she's doing now. It's unfair and vague to ask somebody, tell me every opinion you have.
Judge.
Yes, sir.
We're in the middle of a trial. She's fixing to testify. She's had conversations with the state attorney. She knows what she's going to be asked in forms of opinions that she's going to express. That's why she's here, to help the jury understand the science that relates to the law and express opinions. I mean, for me to ask, we're playing hide the ball here? In the middle of a trial.
I disagree that there's any hiding of the ball. There's been a proffer that's been read multiple times as to the scope of the opinions regarding to battered spouse syndrome and post-traumatic stress disorder and its relationship to the facts of the case as the defendant represented them. And the answer is they are not relatable to the incident as relayed by the defendant. That is the opinion that have been proffered.
All right, can I continue with my deposition?
Yes, sir.
Dr. Werner, do you recall expressing that you wanted more time to reflect as to whether or not Sarah Boone suffered from post-traumatic stress disorder?
Yes, that I was going to review my notes to see if I had enough information in there to support or negate that.
All right. What additional information would you need for you to express an opinion that she suffered from post-traumatic stress disorder?
So she did not give me information regarding the presence of intrusive symptoms. She didn't give me information regarding persistent avoidance. She didn't give me information regarding alterations in arousal or reactivity.
Anything else?
No.
Would you agree you failed to ask her those questions?
I asked her if there was any other important information that she felt like she needed to share with me at the end of my evaluation, and she said no.
So a catch-all question.
Correct.
Were there any other personality disorders? Isn't that what you do as a psychiatrist? You diagnose an opinion, express opinions about whether people suffer from personality disorders?
Correct.
Are there any other personality disorders that you have formed opinions about Sarah Boone that you intend to express?
No.
So, narcissism, you did not find?
I found narcissistic traits.
In terms of your opinion that she suffers from narcissistic personality disorder?
No, sir, I said narcissistic traits.
Okay. So you don't have an opinion that she suffers from narcissistic personality disorder?
Correct. She displays narcissistic traits.
You expressed an opinion that she suffers from alcohol use syndrome?
Alcohol use disorder.
Alcohol use disorder.
Correct.
Is that still your opinion?
Yes, it is.
Anxiety disorder. Is it your opinion she suffers from the anxiety disorder?
No.
Do you recall in your deposition indicating that you felt like she suffered from either anxiety disorder or adjustment disorder?
That's correct.
And you've changed that opinion now?
I'm leaning towards the adjustment disorder secondary to her legal situation.
So you haven't formed an opinion as to whether or not she suffers from general anxiety disorder or adjustment disorder?
Correct.
You agree that she suffered from trauma as it relates to the domestic violence history that she expressed to you from the intimate partner violence with George Torres?
Yes, as reported by her, yes.
Do you have anything to dispute that?
No.
In your opinion, does she suffer from any form of psychosis?
No.
Is it your opinion that Sarah Boone suffers from acute stress disorder?
No.
Is it your opinion that Sarah Boone suffers from intimate partner violence?
Yes, I think that there is enough history of the volatile relationship between the two of them.
Because of that, do you believe that Sarah Boone suffers from battered spouse syndrome?
She may meet the criteria for that.
May. So it's possible? Is
yes.
Is that your opinion?
Yes.
Definitively, you can't say?
There's a history of her having that, yes.
So you agree she suffers from battered spouse syndrome? I believe we've covered anxiety disorder, narcissism, battered spouse syndrome, and alcohol use disorder. Are there any other opinions that you intend to express as it relates to that or any other psychological condition of Sarah Boone?
No.
That's all the questions I have.
Any other arguments at this time?
No, Judge, just the one I've already made.
Okay, all right. The court has conducted its Richardson hearing and made its findings. The court, as previously identified, will not strike the expert, as that remedy is quite draconian, and I will not do so based on the questions that were asked as highlighted by the defense and the opinions that were offered. The specific areas for which opinions are being offered were not inquired into, but the deposition did leave it open that I'll ask questions about any other opinions that I'm asked about or anything that I'm asked during the course of the trial, specifically page 59, 22 through 26 on 1, page 60, lines 11 through 25. So in the abundance of caution, the court has permitted that in-court deposition. Anything else, sir?
No, sir.
State, anything else?
No, sir.
All right, let's go ahead and bring back in our panel and we can...
Before we bring the jury back in, may I approach Mr. Cacciatore on a completely unrelated matter?
Does it need to be on the record? Or...
Yes, it does.
Okay, go ahead.
We would concede that Detective Copsell and Detective Lowen are not testifying again since they've been here in court this morning.
They're still under defense subpoena.
I asked Mr. Henderson if you guys were calling Detective Copsell again, and he said no.
And we're not. In our direct defense, is there a possibility that based upon the information the state is going to present today or this afternoon, that we may want to receive or seek serve rebuttal and possibly through these witnesses? They're under subpoena, and I'm sorry, Ms. Henderson's not here. I've just noticed her presence. Out of an abundance of caution, I think that we need to clarify for the record that they're here listening to.
What's your basis? Well, we're off the record. There's no jury here. That's fine. You all stay where you are. What's the basis for your sir rebuttal?
We don't know because I don't know what the state's going to place in rebuttal. But
that doesn't answer my question. What's the legal basis of a sir rebuttal?
Judicial discretion as to the fairness of the proceeding that the defendant is pursuing.
Okay. Anything else, Mr. Cacciatore?
No, Your Honor.
Okay. The rule of sequestration is still in full force and effect. Detectives Lowen and Capsel, good morning. I'm going to ask you to be excused from our proceedings and not view them and not have any communication amongst yourselves about testimony that has been previously given or any questions that have been asked or answered, and just keep your separate ways as it relates to this case and any questions or testimony that you intend to give, may give, or have give, and comply with any instructions that were provided to you by the state regarding the rule of sequestration. Thank you very much. Anything else, Mr. Owens, we need to address?
No, sir.
Anything else, State?
No, Your Honor.
All right, let's bring back in our jury. You can continue your inquiry, sir. Thank you.
jury's entering.
State, do you recognize our jury?
Yes, Your Honor.
Defense, do you recognize our jury?
Yes.
I thank you all. You can be seated. Members of the jury, thank you again for your patience. We had some issues I had to address with counsel outside of your presence, and we're going to continue the state's rebuttal case this morning. Again, if you could, please just raise your hands to confirm that you complied with the court's instructions during the break. Record reflect all hands have been raised. Mr. Jay, you may continue your inquiry, sir.
State would move to strike the last response as non-responsive.
Approach. Your objection's overruled.
All right. Irrespective of whether anybody has an opinion about whether Ms. Boone was suffering from PTSD or BSS, irrespective of that, based on your evaluation of Ms. Boone and what she relayed to you about the facts of the case, does PTSD or BSS have any relation?
Objection, that's an asked and answered.
Overruled.
No.
And what particular part of her statements about the incident is that?
The whole part where she's describing the part about playing hide and seek and that they were having a good time, they were laughing, when he got in the suitcase, when she found him, they were enjoying themselves, she zipped him up, they were still laughing, you know, having a good time. All of that isn't consistent with her having a feeling of she had imminent risk or imminent, you know, there was an imminent risk of harm that she needed to protect herself.
Can we approach that?
Yes. Members of the jury, I have something I've got to discuss with counsel outside of y'all's presence. Same instruction. Please don't conduct any independent investigation or research on the person, places, thing, or charge involved, and don't have any conversations among yourselves or anyone else with regard to that, and we'll bring you back in as promptly as possible. Thank you. Y'all can be seated. Thank you. Madam Court Reporter, when you're ready. Thank you. just go from the, read it from the question, answer, question, objection. Let's just have the, we can buttress it. Go ahead.
By Mr. J, question, all right. Irrespective of whether anybody has any opinion about whether this building is suffering from PTSD or ESS, irrespective of that, based on your evaluation of this building, what she relayed to you about the facts of this case, does PTSD or BSS have any relation? Mr. Owens, objection, asked and answered. The court overruled. The witness, no. Question, and what particular part of her statements about the incident is that? Answer, the whole part where she's describing the part of about playing hide and seek. They were having a good time, they were laughing. When he got into the suitcase, when she found him, they were enjoying themselves. She zipped him, they were still laughing, having a good time. All of that isn't consistent with her having a feeling of she had imminent risk or imminent risk of harm.
Any other argument, Mr. Owens?
That invades the province of the jury. That's a decision whether or not she had imminent risk of harm or perceived an imminent threat is a question for the jury. This expert can express opinions on science, on medicine, but not on the ultimate issue of fact, and explain to the jury that this defense doesn't qualify. That you should rely on me as an expert, and I'm going to make the decision for you, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, by telling you that under the facts expressed to me by Sarah Boone, she was not perceiving an imminent threat at the time.
Response.
Judge, it's not an objectionable opinion. It's not an opinion on the ultimate issue. It's an opinion upon the applicability of a particular set of evidence that the testimony that the defense has offered called battered spouse syndrome to kind of help explain a portion of the justifiable use of deadly force or non-deadly force instructions. She is not up there saying Ms. Boone was unjustified in doing what she did. She is not saying that justifiable use of force doesn't apply. What she is saying is, in her opinion, based on the facts that she relies on, given by the defendant herself just a couple of weeks ago, that this particular set of testimony and evidence that has been offered through their expert, Ms. Dr. Harper, doesn't apply. This is no different than one expert coming in and saying, well, yeah, you can know that the defendant was sane at the time, despite his mental illness, because he ran from the police, he hid, he concealed evidence, so on and so forth. And therefore, because of those facts, insanity doesn't apply. And a defense expert may come in and say, well, you know, insanity does apply because my client, after stabbing her mother to death, called 911, was speaking unintelligibly and singing, and greeted the officers at the door with a pair of knives, and wouldn't drop the knives, and was incoherent for 12 hours after the offense. Therefore, based on those facts, the expert says, well, insanity does apply. It's not becoming a lawyer, it's not becoming the juror, it is explaining a particular type of expert testimony, and it just happens to disagree with Dr. Harper's. And Dr. Harper came in and said that BSS does apply, and that she was in constant fear, and the reason she's in constant fear is because of all the past episodes and whatnot. It's permissible testimony.
Any other argument, Mr. Owens?
That's totally wrong. The prosecutor claims Dr. Harper came in and said BSS does apply. That's true. But he just got through saying and trying to get the witness to say BSS, it's not to be regarded. Post-traumatic stress is not to be regarded. It doesn't even come into play. Post-traumatic stress disorder, battered spouse syndrome does not even come into play. Because at the time, she was facing, according to this witness, no imminent risk of harm.
Therefore, you can discount everything you hear, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, about battered spouse syndrome.
How does that have anything to do with whether or not it's an improper legal opinion under 90.703?
It is. It's the ultimate issue of fact in this case, because self-defense has been alleged by the defense. And the issue for this jury is whether or not Sarah Boone had the right to defend herself with force, deadly force or non-deadly force, based on her beliefs and impressions at the time, whether they were reasonable under the jury instructions, under the special jury instructions that are going to be applied for battered spouse syndrome, under the jury instructions under justifiable use of deadly force, whether her perceptions about the threat was imminent and whether it was appropriate or reasonable to act the way she did. This expert is trying to say that she was not facing imminent risk of harm at the time.
Thank you both for your arguments. Court is going to overrule your objection, find that it is not an ultimate issue of fact as addressed by 90.703. The court specifically relies on Dinkins versus State, 976 Southern 2nd 660 at pinpoint 661. In that case, a psychologist testifies in the instant case in Dinkins, the psychologist's opinions were not legal conclusions. The psychologist did not opine on the defendant's guilt or innocence. Rather, the psychologist opined only as to whether the victim was, quote, mentally defective, end quote, and capable of consent to intercourse. Although the opinions did go to ultimate issues in the case, Florida law, expressly provides that an expert witness may render such opinion, see section 90.703 Florida statutes, which provides that testimony in the form of an opinion or inference otherwise admissible is not objectionable because it includes an ultimate issue to be decided by the trier of fact. Thus, the jury had the power to accept or reject the opinions and was not bound by such. For those reasons, your objection is overruled.
Madam Court Reporter, I'm just going to ask you to read the question and answer to the jury, and then I have no further questions of the witness.
Okay, thank you.
I'm sorry.
He is going to have Madam Court Reporter read back the question and the answer, and then he is going to have no other questions for this witness.
I object.
Basis.
It was asked and answered.
Overruled. There was a pending objection. I'm allow the state to re-ask it so it's clear based on that objection.
Judge, it's 11:30. I'm going to be at least an hour. For my cross-examination.
We're going to begin your cross-examination after the state advises the jury in open court that there are no more questions. Let's go ahead and bring back in our panel. State, do you recognize our jury?
Yes, sir.
Defense, do you recognize our jury? All right, you may be seated. Thank you. Members of the jury, again, if you could raise those hands. Juror number two, back right, he gets it. All right, thank you all very much. Record reflect, all hands have been raised. State, you may proceed.
Request to read back the question and answer.
Madam Court Reporter.
All right. Irrespective of whether anybody has any opinion about whether Ms. Boone was suffering from PTSD or ESS, irrespective of that based on your evaluation of Ms. Boone, what she relayed to you about the facts of this case, does PTSD and DSS have any relation? Mr. Owens' objection asked and answered. The court overruled. The witness, no. Question, in what particular part of her statements about the incident is that? Answer, the whole part where she's describing the part about playing hide and seek, they were having a good time, they were laughing. When he got in the suitcase, when she found him, they were enjoying themselves. She zipped him, they were still laughing, having had a good time. All of that isn't consistent with her having a feeling of she had imminent risk or imminent risk of harm.
No further questions.
Any cross-examination?
Yeah.
You may proceed, sir.
Dr. Warner, good morning.
Good morning.
What all did you consider collaterally as it relates to your opinions you're expressing here today?
I had a number of documents that I reviewed. I'll look at a list. I had the Orange County Sheriff's Office investigation report. I had a transcript of a two-hour interview of the defendant. I had a
That's the two-hour interrogation with Detective Lowen and Detective Copson?
It was an interview, yes.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
It was labeled an interview. Then I had a transcript of a second interview the next day of Ms. Boone. I had medical records from Aspire Health and Advent Health. And then I had some cell phone records. And I also received the deposition of your expert.
The deposition of Dr. Julie Harper?
Yes.
Okay. And did you listen to Dr. Julie Harper's testimony in this trial of Sarah Boone?
No.
Do you agree you have a right to do that?
Yes.
And did you listen to Sarah Boone's testimony in the trial of this case?
No.
You agree you have a right to do that?
Yes.
And you elected not to listen to her testimony before expressing opinions here today?
Overall.
I did not have time to do that.
You did not have time to do that?
Correct.
She's on trial for murder.
Objection. Yes.
Sustained.
You said you considered some text messages from Sarah Boone's phone?
I reviewed them, correct.
Would it be fair to say that of those text messages, they're not necessarily overly relevant?
Objection. Can you approach?
Yes.
Regarding these text messages that you were provided, did that inform your opinion that you just expressed about the inapplicability of BSS or PTSD to the facts of this case?
No.
Another question.
Did it apply to your opinion that Sarah Boone suffers from battered spouse syndrome?
No.
Are those, that information, when you express opinions in court about a patient or about an individual, you rely on your personal assessment as well as the documents and evidence that you're provided and asked to review, are you not?
Correct.
And in this case, your testimony is that you reviewed all that information before you interviewed Sarah Boone for 2.5 hours on October the 2nd of 22 days ago.
Correct.
So you had the information.
Yes.
The documents. You read the documents.
Yes.
You read all the text messages.
Correct.
And you are going to express some opinions here today, are you not?
Correct.
You're going to express some opinions about narcissism, whether or not she had...
Yes. Objections overruled. You may proceed.
Thank you, Judge. Ma'am, is it fair to say, in your evaluation of Sarah Boone on October the 2nd of 2024, that you felt like the text messages that you received from the state attorney...
Objection beyond scope.
Overruled.
...are not relevant to your evaluation of Sarah Boone?
Withdrawal.
I wasn't sure at the time who actually, I wasn't sure whose phone number it was. In all honesty, we discussed that in the deposition, and I wasn't sure, I have no proof of who actually sent the text, who actually had possession of the phone and put the text, any of the text in.
Well, I was there for the deposition, was I not? Or I appeared by Zoom, did I not?
No, sir, you were present in person.
Okay, I'm trying to think.
Oh, deposition.
The deposition.
By Zoom, yes.
You appear by Zoom, I appear by Zoom, the state attorney appear by Zoom.
Yes, that's
and
right.
And we discussed that these were the phone records from Sarah Boone's phone.
Yes.
Okay. And at that time, you said they're not necessarily overly relevant to your evaluation. Did you not say that?
I don't recall specifically. I'm happy to look at it.
Can I approach the witness?
You may.
I have it, if you just refer me to the page.
Just a moment.
You got it?
I do.
Page 14. My question is at line 3. Your answer begins at line 5.
Correct.
And you agree that any...
Let him finish.
Well, I'm going on... I'm going to ask another question about the text messages, Judge.
You just said line 5. Approach.
So, Dr. Warner, did that refresh your recollection about our discussions about the text messages in your evaluation?
Yes.
And would you agree that they're not necessarily overly relevant to your evaluation of Sarah Boone?
Correct.
And you agree that after reviewing all those text messages, that there was nothing that stuck out to you that caused you to pause and feel like they may have some impact on your evaluations of Sarah Boone?
Permission to go out here?
Can she answer the question?
Have her answer the question first.
I'm not sure what you're referring to in the deposition.
Page 14, my question is at line 21, your answer is at line 25.
Correct. And I said no. As I said, it made me aware that they had a volatile relationship.
But my question to you specifically is, there anything in the text messages that stuck out to you that caused you to pause and feel like that may have some impact on your evaluations?
Correct.
And you agree your answer is no?
As I said, it made me aware. That's not my complete answer.
Okay, well, first you said no.
As I said, it made me aware that they had a volatile relationship. It's not my complete answer.
I know, Dr. Warner, but didn't you say no to me? That was your first sentence, was no.
It's not my complete answer.
I understand. I'm going to let you answer that. But when I asked you if there was anything in the text messages that caused you to pause and it would in some way affect the impact on your evaluation, your answer to me was no.
It's not my complete answer.
I understand. But was your answer not to me no?
Yes, but that is not
right.
My complete
now,
answer.
At the same time, Dr. Warner, at the same time you expressed that they had a volatile relationship.
That is not the totality of my answer either.
Okay, and I'm going to get to it.
Okay.
But part of your answer was that they had a volatile relationship.
Correct.
And this is in relation to my question about the text messages. You agree?
Yes.
After you said no, you said they had a volatile relationship, and that she text messaged calling him an idiot, a fucking idiot, for overdrafting her account.
Correct.
And in those text messages, there was some reference to domestic violence between the two.
Correct.
And that demonstrated to you that they had a violent relationship.
Correct.
And do you not agree that that evidence of a violent, volatile relationship had an effect on you expressing your opinion here today that Sarah Boone suffered from battered spouse syndrome?
Judge, we need to object. We need to approach.
All right, members of the jury, it is 11:55. At this point in time, we're gonna go ahead and take our lunch break. I'm gonna give you a similar instruction that I've given you throughout the last couple of days. Give me a moment to pull it back up. Jurors, you must not conduct any investigation on your own. This includes reading newspapers, watching television, or using a computer, cell phone, the internet, any electronic device, or any other means at all to get information related to this case or the people and places involved in this case. This applies whether you are in the courthouse, at home, or anywhere else. You must not visit places mentioned in the trial or use the internet to look at maps or pictures to see any place discussed during the trial. Jurors, do not watch local news or read local newspapers. Jurors must not have discussions of any sort with friends, family members, or even your fellow jurors about the case or the people and places involved. So do not let anyone make comments to you or ask questions about the trial. I want to stress again, bless you, that just as you must not talk about this case face to face, you must not talk about this case by using an electronic device. You must not use phones, computers, or other electronic devices to communicate. Do not send or accept any messages related to this case or your jury service. Do not discuss this case or ask for advice by any means at all, including posting information on an internet website, chat room, or blog. With that, members of the jury, we're going to be in recess till 1:30, and we'll pick up at that point in time. Thank you so much for your service. Y'all may be seated. State, anything else?
No, Your Honor, thank you.
Defense?
No, sir.
All right, we'll see you at 1:30. Thank you very much. Court's in recess. All right, we are back on the record. Case number 2020-CF-2603, State of Florida versus Sarah Boone. Let me get appearances for the state.
Dave Ketchfor on behalf of the state.
William J. for the state.
Defense?
James Owens for Ms. Boone.
Tony Henderson for Sarah Boone.
Kevin Beck on behalf of Ms. Boone, Your Honor.
Ms. Boone is seated at counsel's table wearing the same clothing from this morning. All right. Are we prepared to bring back in our jury at this time, state?
Yes, Your Honor.
Defense?
No, sir.
Yes, sir.
I'll make another motion. Judge, I've had a chance to read this transcript, and I'd like to draw your attention to a few pages.
Which transcript are we referring to, sir?
The October 4th, 2024 deposition of Dr. Tanya Werner.
Okay. Yes, sir. I have it in front of me.
May I sit?
Yes, sir.
I'm referring to page 38 at the very bottom, line 21. Answer, I need to go through my notes and think about it and process it, but I had other depositions, as you're aware, yesterday, so I had to prepare for those and go through that. So I had not had time to process through all of my notes prior to this deposition today. Page 39, line 2. Well, doctor, I'm not trying to inconvenience you. You know, the judge set for October 7th for jury selection. Line 5, she answered, okay. Question at 6, but I don't anticipate your testimony would be until later, you know. Maybe we could discontinue your deposition and then reset it when you've got time to review. Because obviously I'm not going to want to take your deposition and then you have other opinions that are not going to be covered. Then at 13, Mr. J says, what is your position? Then at 14, Mr. J, conducting discovery after the jury trial starts is completely unacceptable to me, so that's my position. If she needs to issue a supplemental report or if there becomes a need for a second deposition, then we can address that. But it would be my position that we need to get this done because the state doesn't have any appellate rights once the jury is sworn and jeopardy attaches. Line 23, Mr. Owens, well, you obviously understand my position. I'd like to finish the deposition today as well. But if she is holding out that she may have other opinions and other diagnoses after she has had more time to think, review the paperwork, then obviously that creates an issue. The witness on line 4, page 40. But if that happens, I can bring that forward and then you can add to your deposition at that point if my opinions change after having reviewed further. Line 8, Mr. Owens,
Mr. Jade? Line 9, Mr. Jade, I think you need to plow ahead. This is our time window. The court reporter is prepared to give us a transcript by the end of the weekend, and if something needs to be amended, then she can A, issue a report, and then B, if you need to take a deposition, an abbreviated deposition on the limited subject matter she is not prepared to testify about to on today, then we can do that. But the notion of halting a deposition today that is set for 3 hours and then doing a 3-hour deposition during trial, especially after jeopardy is attached, is not what the state would do. Line 23, page 40. Mr. Owens, I'm not suggesting that, Mr. J. I'm suggesting that we just said at the very beginning. I'm suggesting what you just said at the very beginning, which is let's finish. But if she has some supplement, then I would want to take a brief second deposition as it relates to any new diagnoses or opinions.
More continuing coverage in the suitcase murder. The trial of Sarah Boone is on the way from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Press subscribe now